SBIRS stands for Space-Based Infrared System. And here they say, SBIRS would provide the essential high ground advantage of space-based infrared surveillance to the warfighter of the 21st century. So there's a whole major program going on right now. In addition to the $8.3 billion for research and development for Star Wars, there's billions of dollars going into the new satellites developments and billions of dollars going into the ground station developments. So literally already hundreds of billions of dollars are being spent. But besides this national missile defense, this idea of protecting the continental United States by having a bullet hit a bullet in deep space, there's a whole other program called theater missile defense. The idea here is that you forward deploy these systems surrounding a particular country. And there are three different ways to deploy these systems. One is in the air, one is on the land, and one is on the sea. The Navy would deploy these new missile systems on Aegis destroyers. And the Army would deploy them on trucks firing missiles. And the Air Force would have an airborne laser, it's called, a converted Boeing 747 flying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And all three of these systems, their job would be to hit missiles immediately after they're launched. Don't wait till they get way up in the heavens, but hit them in what's called their boost phase. So as soon as they're launched, the Navy would fire, hit them, the Army would fire and hit them, and the Air Force with their airborne laser, a laser beam on the nose of the 747, they would all fire and hit these missiles immediately. And this would give the United States the capability to literally surround countries. And so the United States is now talking about deploying theater missile defense in the Asian Pacific region. Now I'm wondering, what in God's name are we doing wanting to do this massive deployment in the Asian Pacific region? You know, North Korea, as I said, has suspended their missile testing program. They don't have one missile today. Their people are starving to death. They're not a threat to us, let's be honest. And so what's really going on here? I couldn't quite understand it. But then I saw this article in the Washington Post, May 26 of 2000. The headline is, "For the Pentagon, Asia moving to the forefront." And the article says that the United States will now begin to manage China. We're going to manage China. We've come to find out that today on the islands of Guam and Wake Island in the Pacific, the United States is widening and lengthening the runways on those islands to handle the B-1 and B-2 bombers. And we're also forward deploying cruise missiles today on Guam. And we're now talking about essentially doubling our naval presence in the Asian Pacific region. And, of course, talking about deploying theater missile defense in that whole region as well. You know, it's not about Russia, all this talk about missile defense. Russia is under control. Their economy has collapsed. NATO is expanding to essentially militarily surround Russia. Their economy is really under the control of the IMF and the World Bank. But what's the one country in the world today who's not yet under U.S. global economic control? That's right, China. And that's what this whole thing is about. They're talking about deploying theater missile defense on Japan, what we now call our unsinkable aircraft carrier, Japan. On South Korea, we deploy theater missile defense in Taiwan and in Australia, and on ships throughout this region, virtually beginning this encirclement of China. You know, when Nixon was president, he recognized China, and he said the United States is going to have what's called the One China policy. We won't take a position on the dispute between China and Taiwan. We'll stay out of it. And he said that we will not sell weapons to Taiwan because that would only destabilize things in the area, making matters worse. Well, Clinton got rid of the arms sales ban to Taiwan, began selling them weapons, and now Bush is following through and selling them weapons as well. I want to read to you just a paragraph out of this Catholic social justice newsletter called Network. The particular headline issue this month was dominance over diplomacy, about how the United States is moving away from international agreements like the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, the ABM Treaty, and the Landmines Treaty, for example, and moving towards this idea that we're going to dominate everything. We don't have to talk to anybody. They report on an exchange between the House Majority Whip, Tom DeLay, a Republican from Texas. They say he's the most powerful person in the House of Representatives. Recently, DeLay boasted to reporters about how he had confronted the ambassador of China when they both appeared on the TV program Meet the Press. DeLay grabbed the ambassador's hand as if to shake it, but instead squeezed it as hard as he could and yanked the ambassador up close to him and sternly warned him not to underestimate the resolve of the American people. DeLay took the ambassador's prompt departure from the television show as a victory for American strength. So coming on the heels of the accidental U.S. bombing of the Chinese embassy in Yugoslavia, we have the humiliation of the Chinese ambassador on U.S. national television, and now the impending encirclement of China with theater missile defense, who today has 20 nuclear missiles capable of hitting the United States. How do they respond? What do they do? You know, the number one industrial export of America, you know what it is? It's weapons. It's not refrigerators or overhead projectors or VCRs or televisions or cars or it's not shoes. I like to say if it was shoes, we'd have a global marketing strategy. We're going to put a shoe on every person's foot of the world, right? But when weapons are your number one industrial export, what's your global marketing strategy? Well, obviously, it's regional instability. Just like today, the Middle East is a mess, and the United States is selling weapons to everybody in the Middle East. If we can create a similar situation in the Asian Pacific region, imagine the profits that could be made. And so here's the what they call the final vision. The U.S. Space Command's long-range plan. The Earth, fully under control, fully contained. With the new SBIRS satellites in place, the successor to the space shuttle participating in warfare on the Earth, and Ronald Reagan's Star Wars, the space-based laser that is now being developed at NASA's Stennis Missile Center in Mississippi, all participating in controlling and dominating Earth below. You know, over the years, I've organized many demonstrations at the Kennedy Space Center. In 1989, I organized one, and our speaker that day was an Apollo astronaut. His name was Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon. And he said that he came to speak against weapons in space. And he said, if we allow the Pentagon to put weapons in space, to even test weapons in space, we will create so much space junk orbiting the Earth at 18,000 miles an hour that we will not be able to get a rocket off the planet Earth, that we'll be entombed to the planet. Come to find out today, there are 110,000 pieces of space junk larger than a half of an inch orbiting the Earth being tracked on the big radar screens inside Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. Recently, the International Space Station that's being built just above the planet Earth, they had to move it to another orbit because they were tracking space junk that was going to come and hit it. In fact, they point to this one speck right here, and they say this is one of 34 nuclear reactor cores that are orbiting the Earth today that is going to fall back to Earth in the next 1,000 years. Since the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union have launched a whole series of military satellites orbiting the Earth powered by plutonium and or uranium. Several of them have already fallen back to Earth, burned up when they hit Earth's atmosphere and spread uranium and plutonium globally. Dr. John Goffman, one of the founders of uranium, said that one of the reasons for the increased cancers in the world today is the 1963 accident of the U.S. military satellite called SNAP-9A that released 2 pounds of plutonium globally, carried by the winds to be ingested by the people of the Earth. And this is why we work against both what we call the nuclearization as well as the weaponization of space.